Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
I can't wait to get.
Yay!
Is Entitled one or is that the title?
No, Entitled is one.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Entitled.
It's just like
it was like the spaces after that that made me concerned. I didn't know. Is it a title or is it Entitled?
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Cover Level Podcast. I'm Maddie. I'm here with.
Hey, I'm SJ.
Hey,
I'm Brandon.
I'm Sam.
What's up, Sam? I like that little thing that you did there.
Yeah, it's a new thing I'm trying out.
Oh, is it this or this?
I don't know. It's
switching. The first time it was this, and then, okay, that's something a little bit different.
Yeah, you don't want that one. Don't throw that one up.
Okay, sorry.
What is that one?
So, you know, we'll figure it out.
Okay, we'll figure it out. They'll probably tell us.
Teach me how to Dougie.
Who's going to tell us? I remember the video that taught me how to Dougie. He was like,
they'd be like, smooth.
What?
Can you teach me how to Dougie? You know why?
Because all the
love me.
Hey.
All I need is a beat the super bump. And if it's you, and you to bag it up and Dougie.
Hey.
Put your arms out front.
Lean side to side.
When they see you hit that Dougie ride.
Okay, so we have our first story from r/pettyrevenge.
I love this one.
Click on it.
Was that your tangent?
That was that.
Okay.
So, Entitled Parker parked in my driveway, so I blocked them in and got drunk all weekend.
Yes. Very good.
Wow. Unless it was me you blocked in.
So they blocked them in, like completely.
Yeah.
In the driveway. In mm-hmm. their driveway.
Yeah.
For the weekend is...
That's a long time.
All right. Well, Friday night, I came home from work to find someone on our block was having a large party, and someone decided they were entitled to park in my driveway. Keep in mind, my driveway is a single car width lined with a retaining wall on both sides and a garage at the end. Essentially impossible for a tow truck to come and pull them out without having property damage. Seeing this and the lack of street parking, I took this as a cue to park right behind them in my driveway. Now, a few hours go by, and the entitled parker is now knocking at my door, demanding that I move my car so she can leave. Seeing as they were demanding, I informed them that I had been drinking and I would not move my car. The entitled parker then decided to call the police to get them to force me to move. And when the police knocked on my door, I was sure to grab a beer from the fridge before I answered to talk to the police officer.
Get toasted.
Yup.
I had informed him that after I got home, I was unwinding and had been drinking and I was in no shape to drive. At this point, their hands were tied because they couldn't tow her car out and I'm in no shape to drive. I'm legally parked in my driveway. I ended up telling the entitled parker that since it's a long weekend, it would be a long weekend bender and they could come move my car.
Fantastic.
And they could come move my car after I go to work on Tuesday. So for like 3 days, potentially.
That's crazy.
Such is life.
But I'm for it.
I'm 100% for it.
Simple, easy. But
why are you parking in my driveway? Why are you on my property?
Right.
And why do you have the audacity?
To have entitlement.
Let's start there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they say that in front of the cops that they were going to be like, I'm going to be drunk all weekend? The cops were like, yeah, I guess they're planning to be drunk.
What can you say? What can you do?
I think maybe just they were just saying like, hey, I'm drinking right now. And then whenever the entitled person comes up, they're like, hey, I'm still drinking. I haven't stopped.
I actually haven't stopped.
So actually you need to leave.
You need to leave.
Like, I did drive to go get more beers and I parked right back. I did leave for a bit and then came back with more beers.
So sometimes I'm like, okay, I'm on the fence. Maybe it was a little bit too much. No, it just sucks to suck for you at that point.
Parking in someone's driveway is so weird.
That's what grimy people do.
Yeah. Even anyone's driveway that's not your friend's, that's weird to park.
Why are you parking in there? Why do you feel okay to do that?
Right.
I even feel weird doing it in friends' parking.
You know, I actually feel some type of way like when I have to like pull in somebody's driveway to turn around. I hate that. Especially like when they're out the door and they're like looking, they're like, oh, who's this? That even makes me feel like, okay, yeah, I'm so sorry. I just really needed the space really quick.
Yeah.
I actually love it because I like them thinking like, my friend's coming to visit me, and then you pull out, you're like, no one loves me.
Oh my God, Sam.
It's fun because you see the excitement. They're like, oh yeah, I forgot I have no friends.
No one was checking up on me.
Yeah, no one's. Why did I think someone's going to check up on me? I'm unlovable.
Oh my God.
Unlovable.
There's people out there.
Well, there are people out there, and especially if you're a stay-at-home mom, you might be having feelings like these. Like this next story.
I clocked it immediately.
Sam, what were you doing?
I was helping you out.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Always love support.
The face he made, though, he said,
am I the asshole for divorcing my wife for being a stay-at-home mom?
Wow.
I, male 30, married my wife, female 30, around 5 years ago. We've been dating since high school. I loved how smart, ambitious, and driven she was. We bonded over academics and nerd stuff. We both landed good jobs in the same city right after college. 3 years into marriage, we had our baby. We decided on sending our child to daycare after 6 months, but when 6 months were up, she refused to go to work and send our child to daycare. Her argument was, if I picked up more work, we could afford a single income household and she'll be saving us money being a stay-at-home parent, that it was better for our child as well. I refused. Daycare is normal. If it was only me working, I would have to work way more hours, be exhausted, and not spend as much time with my child. I said if she was scared about daycare, we can work in different shifts to stay home with our baby, like tag team. She refuses, saying that does not work for her. And as a mom, she needs to be with her baby at all times. This caused a huge fight between us. She quit her job. She took care of the baby during my work hours and wanted me to take care of cooking dinner on weekdays, cleaning and baby care on weekends, because stay-at-home moms deserve breaks too. This dynamic really made me resent her. I tried communicating many times. The load of bills and insane work hours alone with not being able to enjoy time with my baby all deeply upset me. When I was sure she was not going to listen to me, I filed for divorce. The court gave us 50-50 custody, no alimony or child support, since I proved it was her own decision to stay at home, something I never agreed upon, and her career break was only around a year. I moved back in with my parents, and they have room for our baby too. Meanwhile, my ex-wife is struggling living paycheck to paycheck. My wife stays with my mom when I work. My mom offered my ex the same, but she was so mad at me that she refused and enrolled our baby in a daycare. I refused to pay it since she can just leave our kid with my mom. My ex-wife and her friends are calling me the asshole for divorcing her over being a stay-at-home mom and not providing any support. Am I the asshole? And then there's a little update. So the comment section truly shows how sexist the community is, with your "you're the asshole" comments calling me broke and asking me to man up, others saying mom deserves to be with their baby and I'm the asshole for taking that away from them. My marriage was based on equality. I never wanted to be the sole breadwinner, and to everyone telling me mom staying home is the best and the thing to do if you can afford it, I was clearly saying we cannot. Daycare expense would have been 30% of my wife's salary, 15% of our joint income.
30%?
Expensive.
Yeah. I was not even demanding daycare. I offered my mom's help. Part-time, different shifts, anything that would ensure me to have quality time with my child too. She refused that, turning me to an ATM and domestic help. To everyone saying that I should have given her one more time, each phase of childhood only stays for a little while. I missed over a year of my child's life, big moments, smiles, and phases due to this arrangement. My wife did not care or sympathize. It was my duty to provide for her and her right to stay home with the child. Further, I was responsible for fending for myself, for food, washing dishes, and cooking dinner, and cleanups every day. And on my only day off, the only day I could possibly spend with my child, I had to clean the house, cook all the meals, meal prep for a week, do laundry, mow, etc. I only got time with the baby for about 6 hours.
max 12 hours every week. I was working over 80 hours a week at office and another 28 hours doing housework. What she did was take care of our baby, and I'm not dissing her for that, just that I wanted time with our child too. And when I realized she was not going to listen to me at all, I filed for a divorce because I didn't want to miss years of our child's life. To everyone saying I'm taking advantage of my wife, I do not know how your family is. My parents love my child. I am my parents' only child, and my kid is their only grandchild. To those who say I'm hurting my child, bringing in unknowns, my child is having a great time being pampered with my mom, loves the time she spent with me. To the people who ask what I want, time with my child, memories with my child, a relationship with my child rather than being a ATM. And to the people who say I never loved my wife, I did, until I realized that she did not love or care about me, that she only cared about what she needed and wanted, and treated me like an ATM and a slave. It was heartbreaking to realize, but it was not a relationship I wanted to continue with. She took away my time with my child, and that is not something I can forgive easily. I would rather be a present dad with my child. Am I the asshole?
That's a sticky situation.
Sticky.
Because if I was on his side, I get where he's coming from, where he was like, why, when we agreed that you would go back to work, why is it all on me?
Yeah.
Because I understand in some relationships, it's like, okay, more traditional relationships, there's going to be somebody that's going to be working at home and somebody that's going to be, you know, staying and raising the baby. But he's like, I don't want to do that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we agreed that we would go to daycare after 6 months. And the fact that she seems to not want to bend at anything is crazy. Because even he mentions how when they wanted a divorce, he was like, she's not even going to daycare. She's going to visit my mom. Like, my mom is watching her. So, I don't know.
I see both sides. I get the woman, only because my mom had a similar experience. Like, after she had my brother, she legitimately just did not want to go back to work. Like, once that time came up where it was like, okay, it's time to start going back. Like, she had that moment where she was like, I need to stay with my baby. Like, quit her job. Like, she had a phenomenal job, quit that job. And now that she's looking back, she's like, dang, I probably shouldn't have quit that job. But in the moment, like, you feel so heavily connected with your baby that it's like, that's it for you. Like, for some mother, like, that's it. Like, it's my child. You know, I'm focusing solely on my child.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I see and understand the dad, because he's like, we had this conversation at the very beginning, and she's really not willing to give anything to, so that they can meet somewhere in the middle. So that just...
Okay, I have a missing piece of the story. Okay. Are you guys confused?
A little bit.
Yeah. Okay, because I completely missed a whole slide. So. Okay. In the middle. Okay. So I'm going to read this. Like, I'm just going to read where it cuts in, and then I'll cut it in here.
It'll change your whole opinion.
The only thing, other thing I have to add was when he was saying about 50-50, I'm assuming they're living separately at this point.
Yeah.
I question how much more time are you spending with a child when half of the time they aren't even with you?
Well, he said he was spending 12 hours with her
a week,
the baby a week. So now it's 50-50.
And I guess he's back to his regular hours then?
Probably. So I think it's probably still more, even if it's...
Honestly, the divorce is so tricky. I mean, he mentioned like, oh my God, the baby's so happy, whatever, which is fantastic. But it's a baby. And as a divorcee child, 50-50 split is a headache. You're a child who split between two houses half the time. I have stuff at my mom's that I don't have at my dad's. I have stuff at my dad's that I don't have at my mom's. Now I have to pack a bag. I'm packing a bag. This is real.
Yeah.
Like, I'm packing a bag, traveling back and forth between my two parents every week.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane. Like, that is, I'm so biased because I lived in that, like, dynamic. It is literally the biggest headache. And then, like, you're a kid, so you forgot, like, oh my God, I forgot my backpack at my dad's, and I'm at my mom's, so now I gotta go. Like,
And then is this is a personal question for you, but is there like a dynamic where it's like one place feels more like home than the other?
Yes.
So when you go stay at the other place, you're like, okay, I don't even want to be here.
Because it's, and it 100%, at least for me, I know other people, like friends who have lived that experience where it's 100% like that. Like, you're like, I've rarely heard people say, these are both my homes. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sincerely feel like these are both my homes. Cause there was 100% for me, one parent that felt like home and the other parent, like, yeah, you have the other half of the 50%, but I'm visiting you.
Mm-hmm.
I visit another parent and then I go back home. That's what it was for me.
Sorry.
That's what it was for me. So it was never like, okay, I'm going to my dad's home. I'm going to my mom's home. I'm visiting somebody and then I'm going back home.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about for this situation? Like, what do you think should he have done?
I think what he did, I think what he did is what he should have done. Because like I said, she wasn't willing to give anything. And that's why it's so hard, like, when you just marriage and kids, because, you know, you guys got divorced, but your kid is going to have to deal with that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, they're going to, like, irregardless, they're going to have to deal with that. And the even with, like, my parents, I'm like, dude, you guys were a-holes. You guys were the assholes, 100%. Yeah. Like, and y'all put me through this for what?
Yeah.
And I'm, like, to this day still resentful because I'm like, freaking idiots.
Yeah.
Why'd you drag me into this?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, what he did was, I feel like, was what was best, because he really didn't have a lot of other options since she was just so willing not to budge. Like, she wasn't going to budge.
Mm-hmm.
But, man.
Let me read this top comment because I want to hear what you guys are saying, but I'm going to read this top comment really quick. Not the asshole. If she would have had a conversation that took your feelings into account, you would still be married and the baby would have been in daycare. Now she has to work regardless and the baby's still in daycare. This is one of those fuck around and find out scenarios. The court decided custody and no child support, not you. Her decisions put her where she is right now, and that has nothing to do with you. Enjoy being able to spend more time with your kiddo. Congratulations as well on only having to financially support one person. Now you can have breathing room and be able to enjoy time with your baby. And somebody else said, not the asshole, and agree. It sounds like she made a unilateral decision that affected you both. I found this part especially rich. And I quote, she took care of the baby during my work hours and wanted me to take care of cooking dinner on the weekends and cleaning and baby care on the weekends too, because stay-at-home moms deserve a break too. And the end quote. And when exactly was daddy's break? She sounds like a very selfish, entitled person. So those are the top comments.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I don't. Scenarios like this, it's kind of hard for me to formulate an opinion just because of where I come from. You know, my parents are both still together. So it's like, man, but looking at the story objectively, I guess, I think he did what's best for him. Because either way, like, there's some people when they have their decision made up, no amount of therapy is going to push them out of that.
Yeah.
And so for her decision was, I'm a stay-at-home mom. You're handling everything else and a little bit of that. And that, yeah, ultimately will leave him kind of siloed, island out a little bit, just always working, no rest.
80-hour work week every week.
And then just to take care of it. The child on the weekend.
Well, just to come home, have to cook for the family, have to clean for the family.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, he should be doing a part of that, but doing all of it, it sounds like he was doing a majority of it.
It's the cushiest stay-at-home job there is.
Yeah.
And it's also like when you are with your spouse, you know, you guys should both be on the same page to whatever benefits the family as a whole. I feel like this decision, well, not feel like it wasn't benefiting the family as a whole, because dad had to work 80 hour work weeks and then come home. You know, he's not getting rest. There's no other streams of income coming in. So they're probably struggling just to make ends meet. And that it doesn't benefit the family with that choice. And I just think if you have a partner that's not willing to
do what it takes to, like, you know, at least benefit in some way. It might not be the way you see it in your head,
yeah,
but at least like something to be like, okay, this will benefit the family if I do this at least.
Mm-hmm.
And her just not budging on that.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest thing you mentioned is the fact that it's like, it's not a preference. It's like, he's like, I'm financially struggling. I cannot support this family on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why are, like, you're not hearing me when I say, it's not like, oh, I don't want you to stay home. I would love for you to stay home. I can't afford for you to stay home.
Right.
And also, you're not letting me spend time with the baby. You're only spending time with the baby.
Right.
Because if he's telling her, I can't afford this, and she's still stuck on, you know, you have to work, I'm not working. To me, in my head, I'm like, okay, you are so focused on your baby. My husband is the one feeding this baby financially. So I'm like, this dude, so if he fails, y'all all fail.
Mm-hmm.
And your child is starving.
Right.
Like, that's big picture. Right. I get that you want to be a stay-at-home mom. That's fantastic. You can have that ideology. But quite frankly, your child won't eat if y'all don't do this. And she's still like, stay-at-home mom.
She needs to stop ripping up those applications like this next story. I was waiting for you to say something you weren't saying.
Shredding all the applications.
Go ahead.
The transition lives.
Okay. Can you imagine the husband is the one sending the application and she calls him to
wait? I want to hear. I don't care. I want to hear what Sam had to say.
Dang, Brandon.
No, I don't care what Sam was saying. He's like, the transition lives. I'm like, I don't care what you think, Sam. I want to hear what you had to say.
No, I think my only thing was hearing what Sadia was saying about divorce. The only thing I take away from the story is I really wish there probably is resources out there, but I'm like, I wish married people would come up with a list of things that have actually affected their marriage and things that they wish they talked about before they got married.
Yeah.
Things they discussed.
Comprehensive
list. Yeah, like a warning list. We're going through this before we get married, before we sign the marriage license. We're going through check by check. What do you think about this? What do you think about this? And I think they kind of did talk about in the story about he expected her to go to work and she said she was going to go to work and she went back on it. But if I have this list, I have this document of how we decided we're going to handle these situations that commonly affect us and commonly cause divorces, maybe we could refer to that and like, hey, we said we're going to do this.
Yeah.
And then if you say, you know what, I don't want it, I'm out, then yeah, we get a divorce. Because that's what I feel like so many divorces happen, because you don't know what you're going to do in any time of stress. You don't know what you're going to do in any situation. You're just like, you just focus on, I'm in love with you and let's be together. And then don't think of any real world situations that happen.
Yeah.
So we need to be like doing our homework before this, before you get into divorce and you have children of divorce have to deal with this kind of stuff.
Thank you for being open too, by the way.
I love that.
Thanks, guys. Oh.
Which one was the good parent? Yeah, we know.
She said, yeah. Okay, so last episode, you hit on my mom. Yeah. This episode, you said that. She said, I'm getting closer to fighting you, Sam.
Yes.
Well, I know I'm like, if I like hit on her dad, she was like, I don't care.
I wouldn't care. Yeah. That gives away the answer.
Yeah, that's it. I just say, I'm hitting her. You're like, I don't care about that nigga.
Okay, so this one is come from Am I the Asshole.
Shout out to my mom.
Shout out.
Shout out to my mama. She worked hard. She worked hard for me.
Shout out, Miss Sophie.
She worked hard for me.
So, am I the asshole for ripping up an application in front of the parents and telling them to get out of my school?
Well, that sounds like a movie moment.
Can you imagine, like, being in the principal's office? You're done.
Get out of my school.
Get out, actually.
I love that.
That's really dramatic, but I love that, too.
Yeah.
I do. Literally ripping it up right in front of them.
Yeah.
Do you think it was a slow rip or a fast rip?
It has to be slow, because I'm like
a dramatic slow.
No, it's a slow 4x4.
Two of them?
No.
Dang. Okay, so.
No, they tried. It was two papers. Like,
And then they separate the paper.
And then they're like. Both sheets.
No, they do the half slip and then just like pull them together so it rips each other.
Oh,
You ever do that?
No,
I've never done that.
Yeah, like you like half, like it's a normal thing. Like we all should do that.
You half rip one, and then you half rip the other, and then you just pull, and then it rips both of them.
That's cute.
You're gonna have to show science. I don't even see what you're doing in my head.
Okay, so am I the asshole for ripping up an application in front of the parents and telling them to get out of my school? I own a preschool / daycare. A little boy, David, what? 3, was supposed to start with us on Monday. On Friday, his parents asked if they could stop by with him so he could get to know his classmates before his first day. It was during our extended care hours, so we only had 4 kids and 1 teacher, Natalie, 19. I texted Natalie and told her that David and his parents would be joining them and that I will be there ASAP to talk to the parents so she could focus on the kids. When I got there, David's mom and all of the kids were outside while Natalie was inside, held against a wall and being screamed at by David's dad. Natalie always plays a show / movie on Fridays during the extended care. David's parents demanded that she turn it off because David isn't allowed any screen time. Natalie refused because the rest of the kids were enjoying the movie. They turned off the TV. Natalie tried to kick them out and David's mom took everyone out to the playground so his dad could scream at Natalie. When I saw this, I ripped up all of David's paperwork and told him to get his family and get off my property. We ended up shutting down early and calling the police.
Oh.
Luckily, Natalie is okay, just a couple of bruises, and will likely be back in the next few weeks. We also made sure to have someone at the front desk during extended care hours so parents will not be allowed in the classroom anymore. We previously had parents walk into the extended care room to pick up / sign out their kids since there were so few kids. David's parents have been blasting us on parenting groups, community groups, and our reviews saying that they were kicked out for observing the class and asking what their child will be learning. They've been telling other parents too, claiming that David was a student at one of the other locations. My friends and family say I should have found a better way to kick them out and that I invited trouble by doing this. Am I the asshole? No?
No. What do you guys think?
There was literally a person throwing your teacher up against a wall. She has bruises from the incident.
Yeah, that's
yelling in her face because of something you're trying to teach your kids. Okay, well then this daycare isn't for you.
That part.
Why are you trying to make this day? No, this daycare was not made for your son.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that we talked about in a couple of episodes ago with the dads fighting with violence, you immediately resort to violence the moment she's like, no, the other kids that were here before that are actually enrolled, they like to watch a movie.
Yeah, if he you don't want to do that, then just have him out.
No, he's not even enrolled.
That's there, what's crazy.
There's so many different things in this story. Like, how was a mom able to take the kids out?
I don't. Well, I mean, if the teacher's distracted, there's only 4 kids. So it's like, come on, kids. We're going to go to the playground. They're like, oh, we're going to go to the
blending
playground.
Your face.
That's just, oh my God. That just leads to so many bad things. Just opening even that door, just the mom being able to take the kids out.
Yeah.
Because yeah, oof.
Yeah.
That is a crazy family.
Mm-hmm.
To yeah, immediately resort to violence.
Immediately. I mean, that was your first option.
Breach protocol on the classroom.
Count it up.
Okay. What else we got?
There's more.
Weren't even actually in the daycare. It was just observing.
Mm-hmm. And hit him with number 4, B.
Number 4, violence.
Why?
Well, like, what did you gain?
You got to watch that paper be tore up. That's what he gained.
Yeah.
That's got to be such a scary
moment,
though.
That was a cinematic. I would be scared to actually do that. I feel like
talking to an aggressive man. Yeah. Be like, you need to separate yourself mm-hmm. from this teenager. She's 19. The girl was 19. You need to separate yourself from her. And you need to leave. You and your family, you have to go. You're not allowed here. Like, I'm going to call the police. This is crazy. You know,
the principal is about that action.
She is. Thank God.
She's standing on business.
To rip it, that's like escalating the situation.
That's really good.
So I see how people are like, maybe you should have handled it differently. Like, it could have went.
It could have went south.
Sideways.
We already know he's a hothead.
Yeah,
he done threw the up against the wall.
He's like, you already called the cops. Somebody and has bruises to show for it?
I might as well go, yeah, I might go for a longer way. Time.
Yeah, it's the same time.
Let's rack it up.
So I'm glad she didn't get hurt.
they need to give that girl a raise, though.
No, they really do.
But ripping up the application is like something I would want to do. It's something you would think about later.
Mm-hmm.
And she did it.
I wish I had ripped it up. And then said, get out. Like, that's me in my head dreaming. I'm just laying in bed. I would have said,
get out.
Get out of my... And I'm like, dang, I should have.
But you projected so much. There's an actual echo.
Yeah, get out.
But actually, I would have been like, sir, can you leave?
You need to leave.
Can you please leave?
I'm so glad they didn't have to call an ambulance for that girl like they did in this next story.
Okay. An entitled mother rips open the door on my ambulance and it does not end well for her. So this just happened last night.
Oh,
and
no.
I still can't believe someone would do this. I'm 30, male, and a paramedic. I've been in EMS
service.
Thank you,
sir.
I've been in EMS for the past 8 years and I absolutely love my job. Last night we were dispatched to a 75-year-old female who fell at home. The patient stated that she tripped over her carpet and hit her head when she fell. We arrived on the scene and noticed that the home was a duplex with our patient's door on the right and her neighbor's door on the left. We made our way into the home and found her lying on the floor. The woman was awake and breathing. We started asking her the standard questions. Are you okay? Does anything hurt? Do you remember the fall? Etc. She stated that she had a pounding headache and that she remembers walking to bed and then waking up on the floor. In my field, that's a pretty big red flag. We noticed that she has a pretty good lump on the side of her head and a big bruise starting to form already. Noticing the bruise, I asked her if she was on any blood thinners. She said that she was on blood thinners for a previous stroke she had a few years ago. We urged her to let us take her to the hospital because there was a possibility that the fall could have caused a bleed in the brain and that she should go to the hospital to get some scans done.
Yeah.
She agrees, and we begin to package her up. We applied a
package. That's actually a really funny adjective for that.
Like a little burrito, so you wrap her up.
Just wrap
Not
her
a typical
up.
Restaurant.
Nice and snug.
We applied a C collar around her neck in the case of any C spine neck injuries. She denied any neck or back pain, so we lifted her up and placed her on our stair chair. A stair chair is exactly what it sounds like. It's a chair with tracks that we can use to carry patients up and down stairs.
Ooh.
As we were getting her out of her house, her neighbor whipped the door open and started yelling about how she couldn't sleep with all the lights and noises outside.
No.
The sound of the stair chair apparently woke her up, and she was not happy about it. My lieutenant walked over to her and apologized and said that we were dealing with a medical emergency and that we would be leaving soon enough. The Karen neighbor then noticed that our patient was her neighbor, and that's when she started yelling about something totally different. The entitled neighbor started yelling, "You can't take her to the hospital. I have errands to run tomorrow, and she needs to watch my kids."
Oh my God.
Infuriated.
My lieutenant again reiterated that we were here for a medical emergency and that her health is more important than her errands. The entitled neighbor let out a loud huff and then slammed the door in his face. We thought that was the end of it, and we were wrong. After a few minutes in the back of the ambulance, we told our lieutenant that he could take the engine crew back to the station and that we were going to be heading out in a few minutes. After we checked her vitals, got an IV going, and started getting her IV fluids, my partner got out of the back and went up to the driver's seat. About 5 seconds later, the back doors of my ambulance fly open, and what do I see? The entitled neighbor, of course. Apparently, she needed a few minutes to get dressed before coming outside. I yell at her, "What the hell do you think you're doing?" And she yells, "I told you that she can't go to the hospital because she's going to watch my kids tomorrow." Then
she is a menace.
Then she starts trying to pull the cot out of the ambulance
with
our patient on it.
Not be real.
Luckily, she didn't know how to unlatch the coat and couldn't get out. Our patient says, "I can't watch your kids tomorrow because I fell and I might be having a stroke." The entitled neighbor yells back at her and says, "You're fine. You don't need to go to the hospital because you're not having a stroke." My partner then hears the commotion and then goes to the back of the ambulance. He pulls her off the cot and I slam and lock the doors. You could tell the entitled neighbor was about to become combative. It's important to know that either the police department or the sheriff's department responds to our calls too when it's at night. And because of where we were, it took a few minutes for the sheriff's department to show up on the scene, but he got there just in time.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't hear much through the door, but I saw the officer get out of his cruiser with his taser drawn. My partner runs back to the driver's seat and starts heading to the hospital. The last thing I saw through the back windows was the entitled neighbor stomping towards the officer and then her hitting the ground after being tased. super satisfying to watch.
That's in your rearview mirror. You're like,
I was, I was talking about my patient and asked what that was all about, and she said the entitled neighbor will drop her three young kids off at her house and leave for several hours at a time with no notice. My patient had no idea she was supposed to watch the kids at all because, again, the entitled neighbor never ever gives her a heads up about these things. Like I said in the beginning, this happened last night, so I don't have any updates, but I'll post an update when I learn more. So there was an update. I'm just going to give you a brief summary. She's okay.
The old,
she's okay. She survived.
No stroke.
No stroke. And yeah. So
she needs to never watch her kids again out of spite.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she just like, leaves them there.
Free the neighbor, man.
This is an act out.
Free the neighbor.
This is an act out.
It's not an act
out. This is absolutely an act out.
Okay. I want to be OP.
Okay. I want to be the Karen.
Okay.
I'll be the cop.
Is the patient?
You want to be the patient? Old woman?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, hey, we got a 2319 on the radio. Heard? 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 Ma'am, ma'am, are you okay?
I don't, I'm not really sure. I think I fell. My head kind of hurts.
Yeah, you look, really you look a little banged up.
I don't really remember it.
What's the last thing you remember?
You know, I was up and then I wasn't. And then okay. Now I'm here.
All right. We're taking her in. I think I really recommend we take you to the hospital and get some scans.
Okay.
Are you on any blood thinners?
Actually, I am. I had a stroke before.
I really recommend. Can we take you to the hospital?
That's all right, baby.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. So I'm going to put this, I'm going to package you up, ma'am.
Package me up.
Okay. And
chemistry. there's sparks flying.
I mean, hey, what can I say? I'm a 30-year-old man, and you know she's 75 years old, and she Simply. Likes what she sees.
You got it.
So, all right. So let's get you on the stretcher. We'll get you on the C chair.
Okay.
Hello. Who is that? Excuse me. Excuse me.
All right, man, we're going to get you out of here.
Hey,
okay?
You.
Ow.
Yeah, you hear me. You know you heard me. I got a loud voice, so you definitely heard me.
Ma'am, we can't deal with this right now. We're really sorry.
You woke me up. What is going on?
Partner, can you get her in the ambulance for me?
Wait, what?
Don't mind who that is. Ignore who that is.
Where are you taking her?
She needs to go to the ambulance, man. This is a medical emergency.
She ain't going nowhere.
Ma'am,
she is going. I got three kids that need to be taken care of tomorrow, and this is my daycare.
Ma'am, she is going somewhere. She's going to the hospital right now.
We'll see about that.
All right. All right. We're going to check her vitals.
Okay.
I think everything's going to be okay, but we just have to make sure that you're going to be good. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Beep, boop, 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 boop. Everything's working out good. All right.
You got the OJ murder gloves on.
All right. Yeah, I guess Sheriff should be here hopefully soon, but... hey, guys, I don't need any more escorts. We're just going to go head to the ambulance.
Do. Open this damn ambulance door.
What are you doing here?
I said she ain't leaving.
Look, they said I might be having a stroke.
Gertie, I don't care what you said. Get out of this car.
Hey, don't touch her. Don't touch
her. Yeah, we're pulling her right now. You know, I'm a little late, you know what I mean?
I might be having a stroke. Give me that C-clamp.
My bad, you know.
Oh, my God. How does the cock come out? Open the door!
Oh, what's going on here? What's going on here?
Are you okay?
What's going on here?
Let me put your neck brace back on.
They just stole my babysitter. They stole my babysitter. I'm about to put hands on you too, cop.
Wait, hey. Nope. Taze.
Yes!
You're going to jail. And you know what? You're going to use all of your savings to get out of it.
Like this next story.
He's on the ground. She's on the ground.
Not the transition within and scene. Dang. That was
Sam.
Sam
you
is such
really
an actor.
You really commit. Like, wow. That was an immersive experience.
I was like, I didn't know.
I don't know. I was like, I didn't hear that part.
Listen, I'm going to protect my patient, okay?
The love of your life, actually, it seemed like.
Listen, she's got some security deposit or some insurance.
Oh, you're after the money.
Well, we're not going to last forever.
I'm after some company.
You better get it, girl.
B, what was the transition you used?
Saving. I said, you're going to jail. You're going to need all your savings to get out. Like this
next story.
I love an act out transition. It's beautiful.
Okay, so this one, next one is from Today I Effed Up. Today I Effed Up by finding out what my 8-year-old son was saving for.
Kids are weird, man. Kids are weird. I'm really expecting something weird.
Uh-oh.
I'm excited.
All right.
It's going to be something weird.
So before we start this,
okay,
I want to tell everyone this is a happy Today I Effed Up.
Okay.
When I was 16 years old, I was stupid. I didn't wear protection and I got a girl pregnant. I was shocked. I never expected to have a kid that early. And I don't know if I regret it or not. Almost all of my regrets washed away when my son was born. For privacy purposes, we'll call him Rory. I'm 24 now and my son is 7, almost 8.
That's the fake name you come up with?
Rory?
I can barely pronounce that.
Rory.
Pray to God he doesn't have a lisp. Oh my God. Rory?
My name is Wally.
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 When do we worry?
Don't you worry about a tag.
Don't worry.
About a tag.
Because everything is
what are we going to be all white, right, guys? He's the smartest and most loving kid I could ever ask for. His mom had left when he was around 2, and when I tried to sue for child support, the judge sided with her, quoting that I was the father and I needed to step up. Ever since that, it had been...
Wait, what was that look?
Because it's like roles reversed. Yeah. That would never be a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I was just like, okay.
That's valid.
Seriously. Ever since then, it had been me and Wowie against the world. Ever since then, it had been me and Rory against the world. I was a single dad to Rory from then on. I had a few girlfriends, but nothing serious. I left my parents' place and got a small apartment. I dropped out of high school, which I still immensely regret. But hey, life happens.
Yeah.
During this time, my neighbors, God bless them, helped me raise my son. They were an older couple next door whose kids had moved out long before, and they were fine babysitting him. I was a manager at McDonald's. I made lousy money, but it was enough to get by. Then 2 years prior, our shitty building manager raised the rent for everyone, and I had to work even harder for a place to live during a pandemic. My parents had left the state, and I wasn't ready to uplift my kid's entire life because his dad couldn't provide for him. Every birthday since before he was 3, I believe, I took Rory to Golden Corral, usually on his birthday, but there were more occasions we went. It was really good for him, and he really enjoyed it. I hadn't been able to take him for the past 2 years due to money being very tight. This is important for later. Sometimes I'll get tipped at McDonald's, a quarter here, a dime there, a dollar here and there, and I'll bring it to him every time and give it to Rory to save. Well, 2 days ago, Rory brings me his money jug and dumps it all out in front of me. He was so excited and began counting it out. There was around $40 there, and he jumped up excitedly, and I asked, "Hey, what's up, little buddy?" And when I tell you what he said, my heart broke. My son asked if it was enough to go to the corral for his birthday.
Oh, my goodness.
A piece of me shattered inside. I didn't even think he remembered the Golden Corral. I told him we couldn't go to the bank tomorrow and exchange it for cash. That night, I ugly cried in my bedroom. I felt like a failure because I couldn't give him everything he's ever wanted. I began researching further my education. Well, yesterday, as soon as the bank opened, I took my son and we exchanged the money for cash. I then drove up to the Golden Corral and we were there for 2 hours. My kid was so happy and I was stupid because I just assumed he forgot this place. We get the all-you-can-eat buffet for 2 for $30. Today, I cried again in my room. I've never been good at saving money, but his birthday is next month, and I'm going to do my best to take him every few months. So other parents have read it. Can I have some advice on how you deal with guilt of having to say no?
Wait,
the guilt of saying no?
Maybe just because, like, it's like in the past, he had to say no because he couldn't afford it.
Yeah, and now so, he feels guilty because of it. Yeah. He's like, I can't give my son everything.
You don't have to. Rory got it.
It's on me.
It's on me. Rory's like, hey, Dad, don't worry. That's it's on me, dog.
Crazy. Oh, my God.
Take the night off, Dad.
Look, I'm getting money at the wing, wang, boom. You know what I'm saying? I got $40 here.
Couple dimes. Yeah, couple nickels.
Yeah. I don't need you, Dad. I got to go corral money.
I just asked if you could drive me. Yeah.
Oh, that is... Wow.
Papa, would you accompany me to Golden Corral at your earliest convenience?
Don't mind if I do.
On your dime?
On your dime.
Shoot.
It sucks because I don't think any of our parents were like rich parents. So there were definitely things that we probably couldn't do because they didn't have the money for it. I don't think I was ever one of the kids who resented my mom for it. But I was the opposite where I'm like, oh, we're never going to do anything because we don't have money. So I never assumed we would even do anything.
Yeah.
I still remember when she took us, she was like, in like 4 months, we're going to Disney World. I'm like, yeah, sure we are. And I was like, I don't think we're going to do anything.
Yeah.
Literally the day before, she's like, Sam, why have you packed? I was like, because we're not going. She's like, no, we're actually going. So it was like, probably now I'm realizing like how she felt at me saying that. Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, I didn't assume. Like, because... We never have the money to do it. And then she finally, she's like, no, I saved the money. We're actually going less. I'm like, oh, we actually did it. That probably hurt her to be like,
yeah.
Wait, has this been your whole childhood of you not expecting anything to happen?
Mm-hmm.
So I, now from that perspective, I'm like, I get the guilt, but I think we'll make it through. We don't need all the things that you were kids. You don't think you needed all the things that you wanted, right?
I mean, I know like, I never resented my mom. Mm-mm.
Right.
Because I feel like a lot of kids are more intuitive than parents give them credit for.
Yes, exactly.
Because I was a kid where I'm like, okay, like I have a single mom, you know, and you don't get it, but you get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I get that I can't have everything. And I really don't resent you for that because I literally see all that you're keeping together.
Right.
And when even then I really didn't have a concept of what that was.
Barely knew what was happening.
I barely knew what was happening. I was just talking to Sam about, like, we talked about everything for real. Where I really didn't, like, I didn't know exactly what was going on, but I had a concept of, like, okay, my mom is a single mom and she's not a millionaire.
Right.
And I can't have everything. So I think when we did have those things, it made it that much more special.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because my mom, same way, where it's like I never resented her, but it was always interesting because she was like the parent where she was like, you're not going to know that we don't have money.
Yeah.
You know, where it might not have been the best spending wise, but it's like when cash does come in, it's like, hey, something special, you know, we're going to go out to dinner. Or she had just recently told me that apparently when we were younger, there was like some deal that you could get at like Applebee's or something where you could basically take your kids to eat for free. So it was like, we were going because we're like, we're going to Applebee's.
Yeah.
And then she's like, well, yes, but also it's like you guys are eating free here. So it's a treat for us and it's also a good deal.
Wait, so you didn't know it was free when you were?
I don't remember it happening. Because when I was younger, we actually went to Golden Corral. So I was like, oh, okay.
Do you guys like Golden
and I definitely Corral? Thought no. it was, I thought I it was special when terrible. I was younger. But as I got older, I was like, I was like, it's not very good food. But I mean, I felt like a king when I walked up in there and I'm like, I'm eating everything because I don't get access to steak like this. Like,
yeah,
no one should have access to that.
But when you're a little kid, you're like, oh my God,
it's barely edible.
This is great. And ice cream and all the dessert line everyone. Is just like
everything.
Everybody. But I did love, I'm like, let me get a egg. Let me get a steak. Let me get a
burger,
an egg roll.
You're like, I knew, like, for me, pizza? I knew like either money had come in or something. Like we were big balling when we could get like a soda with our drink.
Stop it!
Yeah,
when we're going out to eat, we're like, yeah, you don't have to get just water. You can. I remember like the default answer is always water.
Water,
right? And then the waitress would come up and be like, "What do you guys want to drink?" And it'd be like water. And then my mom would look at me. She like.
It's on me.
You really want water?
Oh, yes, actually. Like, my mom did
and
the same.
I play coy every time. I'm like, well, what do you mean?
That's what
like,
we usually drink, right?
Yeah, that's what we drink. Like, you can choose something else. And I'm like, I used to be so excited. Oh my God. That was it for me. Like picking an actual flavored beverage.
Yeah.
That was it. At a restaurant, at a sit down restaurant, that was it for me. That was like, okay, you got a little change, all right, to work with.
It down. I need that refill.
I was getting all of the refills.
Right.
Yeah. I was going to say, yeah. So my parents didn't have the best financial decisions growing up either. So like, yeah, while they were together, there were sometimes it was like, oh, we were barely making it. But like, I would say for the OP to probably deal with, it's lucky that he's dealing with it now, because like, I'll ask my mom certain questions now, but I'm not like anything like I just wanted to know, like, you know, why does certain things like play out the way that they did? Like, are, like I was asking, I was like, oh yeah, how come I was never able to like do sports? Like I always wanted to. I remember saying that. And she's like, oh yeah, well, we just didn't have money to get you like a uniform and like on the team and stuff. Mm. And I was like, yeah. Oh. And then
you're bad at sports. No, she told you back then, it was like, we were broke. And she's like, actually, no, you suck.
That's you're right. Clumsy. No, you're horrible at
sports. Yeah, athletic, no coordination.
We're broke. We have no money.
We got like two ranch homes. Like, you know,
Brandon's tripping over. He's like, I'm good. He's like, look at me.
Dreams. Brick.
Knocked, come back, knocked you in the head.
But yeah, it was, it's tough now asking those questions because I don't mean anything by it. But like,
you're curious.
Yeah. I just wanted to know, like, or like, but now me asking my parents are like, oh dang, I wish I could have did that for.
Yeah.
And so like, it's like, I don't know if the word's resentful, like my parents feel like remorseful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They feel remorseful, like not being able to do it. But I'm like, I turned out great.
Yeah.
I'm having fun with life. I do what I like all the time. Like nothing hindered me from growing into the person that I was. And so, yeah, I would just say to probably deal with that, or I don't know how that is for parents, because, yeah, not one, but, yeah, I don't know. It kind of makes me sad because it's like, yeah, I'll be asking for something, and it's like, I'm not even trying to, like, make it as emotional. I just want to know, like, what's the answer?
Tell me.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because my mom, she, like I said, she would never let me know. So I think it was like, I was probably like 10 when I realized, I was like, oh, I don't think we have a lot of money. Because I think it was like a moment where we had somebody come and bring groceries. Well, we had somebody come and bring groceries, which was really, really nice. Super grateful for them. And then we had somebody come and bring me all of their clothes. But in that moment, I was really embarrassed. So I ended up coming off as like really mad. I was just like, what? I don't need new clothes. Yeah. Like, she was like, no, you can like try all these new clothes. I was like, I don't want those clothes. Like,
yeah.
I was just so embarrassed. I was like, I don't need any of that. But for the most part, my mom, like, we talk about how it's like feeling guilt. My mom somehow always found a way to pull out money for whatever I wanted to do for the most part. Like, if we wanted to go get like a smoothie or something, she was like, okay. But again, I'm like, thinking back, I'm like, mom, you should have said no to me because
right.
I was like, I knew you were saving up.
No one needs a smoothie. That's the.
I knew you were saving up for something and you didn't want to disappoint me. So you pulled it out of your savings, you know? So I don't know. Like, how do you not disappoint your kids?
I would say, from
a child's perspective, I think that you should really give kids credit that they do see you.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, they see you. I split time with my mom and dad, and with my dad, money was a lot tighter. Like, I could tell, like, you could feel it.
Yeah.
Because you're splitting time. So I was like,
the money's taught.
You can feel it. Like, you're able to feel it. But it was, it's just, even like small things, like he would take us to Family Fun Center.
Oh my
God. Family Fun Center. Like, we would have like these dance parties. My dad just shut all the lights off, literal flashlights, and just like waving them around. Best time.
That sounds like a part. That sounds fun.
And I don't even know, like, that's when the power went out. And, you're like
you don't know. You don't feel it, but they just make the moment so special that it really doesn't, big picture doesn't matter. Because, like, I'm 23 now, and I'm still, like, that's one of the memories that I have. And that costed nothing.
Nothing.
So I think parents should really just give credit to their children that they aren't just like, of course, there's points where kids can be selfish, but big picture, kids get it in a way. In their own way, they get it.
And they still cherish those moments.
Mm-hmm. I'm less worried about the kids. I'm more worried about
him.
You're going to have less issues with kids. You're going to have more issues when people get older.
Yeah.
Because that's one of my biggest pet peeves in some of the stories we read, where I understand completely that parents brought us into this world. They had a way of life that shaped you how you are. So there are things about you that you might not like about yourself, and your parents contributed to that. But at the end of the day, you're a person now. You are responsible for yourself. So continually blaming your parents, you're 30, you're 40, blaming your parents about I'm this way, that annoys me so much.
Yeah.
Like, I hate that. And there's some stories where there's like really like sexual abuse and really bad things where I'm like, okay, that really affects you. But there's things where like, they didn't take me on this trip that I wanted, and now I never do anything in my life because they don't. I'm like, please. It happened. Move on.
Yeah.
Your parents are perfect. You know your parents aren't perfect. You aren't perfect. Just take that and move on and stop like using that as a crutch to blame people. I don't feel, some parents should feel guilty about some stuff, but this is not something you should feel guilty about. You're doing the best you can.
Yeah.
And you raised a sweet boy who's saving money to take his
The kid's picking up.
He sounds like an empath to me.
Yeah.
Well, somebody even mentioned in the comments, I'm not going to read the comment, but they're saying, if anything, you're teaching him how to save money.
Yeah.
Because he saved up all that money just because he's like, this is what something I really want to do. So he saved money.
He set a goal.
Goal, and he met the goal.
The only thing that makes you a bad parent is you're taking him to Golden Corral. It's gross. Take him somewhere else, buddy.
Okay, let's do our last story, Sam. Whatever.
All right. Nope.
I'm rethinking of having a child with my wife because of what I've just found out about her dad. Am I the asshole? Trigger warning, sexual assault.
Dang it.
My wife, Jessica, 32 female, and I, 30 male, have been married for 2 years and are trying for a baby. Jessica has an older sister, Mary, that she isn't close to. She told me that they had a huge falling out over some family drama and they just don't speak anymore. I asked a few times about the situation, but she would just say that she doesn't like talking about it and she doesn't think it's important. It was Jessica's brother's birthday yesterday and we were all over at his house to celebrate. Mary made an appearance and there was a lot of drama. Long story short, she called Jessica and her brothers out for still associating with their dad when they know that he is a child molester. No one was paying her any mind, and I was really confused on what the hell was going on. When Mary left and Jessica and I went home, I asked Jessica what happened. She said that when they were kids, Mary used to claim that their dad used to molest her. I asked if it's true, and Jessica was stuttering a lot. She said she knows her dad used to do bad things, but that Mary cut them all off when she turned 18 and moved out. I asked if she's admitting that she knows her dad was a child molester and did things to his own daughter. She said he doesn't do it anymore, and he was just in a really bad place in his life, and he apologized to Mary. Nothing else anyone can do for Mary. I was honestly appalled. I also feel really terrible for Mary. Jessica made it seem like Mary did something wrong and deserved to be basically exiled from the family. I could have never imagined that this is what happened. I asked if she expects me to be willing to have that man around our future children, and she just started shouting at me, saying that I'm judging him off of something that happened 2 decades ago. And whether I like it or not, he's going to be our child's grandpa, and he will be in their lives. I said if she insists on it, I think we need to hold off on having kids and have a serious conversation about it. She's extremely angry at me, but I don't know how I could better react, to be honest. This feels like a huge deal that she is minimizing. Am I the asshole?
No. No, I don't think so. I feel like some things, man.
Top comment. Somebody said pedophiles.
Some things.
Well, let me just say this because it's literally a sentence. not the asshole. Pedophiles rarely retire.
Mm, preach.
That's all that needed to be said.
I feel so bad for Mary, like OP said. The fact that she's somehow the problem. And the dad. They're like supporting the dad.
They all still accept the dad. Right?
Yes.
They're just like, okay, it was 20 years ago.
Like, no, I would not feel comfortable having a baby and knowing that that baby is going to be watched by him. Because, yes, pedophiles rarely retire, which means he might have some type of weird... He probably will have some weird thing for my daughter or son. And I'm not comfortable having her even be in the space, especially being having a baby with you, because you don't think what your dad did was wrong.
And you're literally sticking up for him.
Right. You said he was going through rough times?
Gross.
What are you talking
like,
about?
What is that? That's not normal. That's what you describe as a rough time.
And it sounded like it was multiple times. It wasn't once. Not that that makes it any different, but
I said, what happens in the good times?
Like, that's asinine.
The problem with this is this, without going into too much detail, happened in my family.
Mm-hmm.
And I can completely agree with some of the way people react to the situation happening. Mm-hmm. Where you're like, why are you acting that way? Why are you sticking up for them? And you're like, it's like, it's years because we didn't talk about it. We really didn't talk about it. We just kind of moved on and we kind of just like say it's not a thing. And some people are like, well, I am going to hold on. Like, this is crazy that we're not, that we're accepting and it's moving on past it. And people react to these situations differently. So I'm like, this is not a weird thing. I'm like, this literally happened in my family, and it'll blow your mind like what people are willing to put up with just to feel comfortable and not ruffle any feathers.
It's just crazy how I feel like they're claiming like, oh, their family just like moved on. When in reality, if they did all just move on,
they would treat her good.
They would have treated Mary. They would have welcomed her back. Like, there would have been no difference. But the fact that you're still exiling her and she's just completely cut off from the family and not the one who actually committed a crime.
Yeah.
Against a child.
Multiple times. His own daughter.
His own daughter.
Probably potentially wanted to do it to other kids.
Right.
And you justify it.
The reason why he had that reaction happen to him is because he was confronting a delusion in that family. Like, everybody's all delusional. They're just brushing past the problem.
Yeah.
They're just leaving that there. After a while, that builds up. It becomes something different. A problem that you don't deal with just becomes something that emotionally will be something completely different. So, like, for them, I feel like it's just delusion. I guess like they're like, oh, it didn't happen because it was so long ago. But he's like, no, this still happened. And I don't trust him around my future kids. That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, bro, I don't know. Pedophiles just.
Well, because I do feel like there is some room for
like her, like, blocking it away.
No, like, for him to be like. To grow, yeah. Like, I think there is room for repentance, for growth, but they're completely denying that by pushing it aside. Like, there is a world where you're like, hey, you dealt with this, like, you did this stuff. You need to own up to it. You need to turn yourself in or something, actually face the consequences for it. Seeing that you actually thought of what you did was wrong, the whole family's on board saying this was wrong, what happened. And then, yes, over time, as you show that you're true about this and you own up and do all the right things, that yes, 20 years down the line, you're like, okay, this is something that happened in the past, but we all worked through this together and he paid the consequences for doing it. You're robbing him of that. This now, when you're like, pedophiles never retire because they're not being held accountable for what they're doing. Like,
they think it's okay.
In his head, he's like, well, my family still loves me. Why do I gotta change? Yeah. Like, that's probably in his head. Hopefully, I'm praying that he's not continuing to do this, but there's nothing really stopping him. There's no consequence, seemingly.
Yeah. So no, I don't think he's the asshole for being.
If I was OP, I would have shut it down completely. Like, for me,
is that a divorce worthy?
I think that's divorce worthy.
If that is the way that you think, like, if that's the way that you think, to me, like, I'm telling, like, there's just something. There's a line for me. There are lines, and there are some lines I don't even want to touch. You telling me that you for real want to defend your dad? You're going to sit and play in my face like that.
And my dad will see our kid.
No, and you're like, no, he won't.
And you're doubling down. No, he's definitely going to be a part of that. And God forbid, what if something did happen? Then what? Then what? We're just looking at each other's face like.
To add on to that, she didn't. Yeah, doubling down. That's also.
Double down.
That's crazy. Not even hearing his side. Or being like, I understand that you could feel this way, or maybe we could talk about it. But doubling down and not even giving him the chance to be like, I feel this way.
Somebody met. What's up? Yeah, come on, come over here.
Shout out Steph, the cameraman.
Here he comes.
Where's the room? Sit. What are you doing?
I'm saying right. What? I'm gesturing.
Yeah, what was grope that?
His butt? No, I'm gesturing it was right like here. I'm like, come over here.
He looked, he said, all right.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, dang, that was, wow. We'll register.
I think it's also important to note that she was also hiding this from him. For like their entire marriage.
Oh yeah, she was like, it's family drama.
Oh, yeah, but she also was like, he was like, he knew something was happening. He's like, what happened? And then he didn't figure out until they literally met all of them at the same time. Cause he had asked her in the past, like, what happened in the past with your dad? I don't want to talk about it. It's not that important.
Classified like, as family drama.
Like, I can't trust you when you've hidden this from me for who knows how, I don't know how long they were married. But I'm like, I can't trust you? Five?
No, two years.
Two years, and you were hiding this from me, and then you're acting like, oh, it happened 20 years ago, but you didn't want to tell me about it, and you act like it's not a big deal, but you didn't want to tell me about it because it happened 20 years ago. It's like,
you're sick too, sounds like.
That's just, I can't trust you.
That's literally guilty by association.
Yeah.
Yikes. Yikes.
Thanks, Steph.
Thank you, Steph.
Thanks, Steph, for that input.
That's such a good point.
OP, you're not the asshole.
Because you knew. She knew.
She knew.
Well, yes. There was somebody in the comments, though, that mentioned maybe the reason why she's in such a denial is because something might have happened to her.
Mm.
And so she's pushing it down, and she was like, no, there's nothing wrong, because then she has to address.
Yeah.
So, yes, totally she's wrong for pushing it down, but maybe that's the reason why she's like, no.
Yeah.
Because it's like, then something else has to come to the surface of maybe what happened. I think they went, I didn't read the rest of the comments, so I'm not going to say that. But yeah, that's what they were mentioning of maybe that's why she was being so defensive, is because she had undealt with trauma.
Well, okay, keep going. What are you saying?
I was saying where I've seen also where people, where they hate the sister because for some reason they see their parents as this like figure that they can't do any wrong. So you're like, you made dad do this.
Yeah.
You broke our family. Like, my dad's perfect. So if anything happened, it's because you did this to us. And that's why we hate you. That's why we're ostracizing you.
That's such a hurtful mentality. Yeah. That's such a toxic mentality.
Address that comment. What I think it, like, yes, maybe she doesn't want to bring up, like, this hurtful past. Say that this same thing happened to her, right? Mm-hmm. If that is the case, why would you still be comfortable in putting your child in that same predicament?
Right.
For something like that to happen?
Right.
Why would you be okay with that?
Right.
Knowing if it's something that you've repressed this much, then obviously you know that, like, this is something that you, emotionally, that you don't even want to touch.
Mm.
Right. It's done that much damage that you've buried it 20 feet under. And you'd be okay with putting your child in that same predicament to be exposed if something like that could happen?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see that. I just don't see that being an option.
Yeah. It's not. It really isn't.
Because if I knew that, like, let's just move countries, move states. Let's go somewhere that's not here. or let's just, don't ever have any contact with
no contact.
My child.
Like this next story.
No more stories. No more stories tonight.
Yeah. No more stories.
Okay. No contact. No more stories like this.
Next story.
No, guys. No more stories. How about you guys have an episode or something?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Like this next episode?
Cousins. Cousins. Cousins.
So I know we are leaving on more of a heavy, story, but I think that was a lot of really good points that everybody brought. And
can we do a tangent to lighten the mood?
Bring in the tangent.
What should we yap about really quick?
Let's yap about
the yap cards.
Anything but
Will Smith and Jada Pinkett.
What about the fabric?
Oh my God, no.
Is that too?
Tupac got alopecia. That sent me.
Does Jada Pinkett hate Will with all of her heart?
Yes.
Because there's no way you should treat someone like this.
And why?
Poor Will. Exactly. Like, what
anyone
did he
you
do?
Were married to, you should not. This is like your enemy, the way she's treating this guy.
Actually, the new stuff wasn't what got me. It was the birthday that gets me.
The birthday?
Me. He threw this like amazing birthday party, like celebrities from everywhere. And she's like, you're doing too much.
That's sick.
And I was like,
you're just ungrateful at that
really
point.
For me, it's the, we've been separated for 6 years. That's where I'm like, you don't have to say that. This is literally just to embarrass me to make everything look like I'm a sucker.
Jada doesn't care.
She does not
if
care.
If I were her kids, I would be humiliated.
I'm like, you hate him.
You hate the family unit at that point. Like, why don't you put this on our name? Tainted forever. Exactly. Well, they're all a little out there.
Because isn't she saying they weren't even together anymore?
Yeah, yeah.
Wait a minute.
So she's saying he went up there, slapped him. They're not even. He's just
married or something.
Sex diamond.
Whoa. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, she's doing for
you. Kind of hit that.
She kind of did.
She's probably getting mad since like Get Jiggy With It. She's been angry since then.
She's just been hot headed.
How do you sleep with your son's best friend?
Yeah,
it was just an entanglement.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I can't. We got to stop.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys next week with a Cousins podcast.
You guys are leaving on a Cousins podcast?
Yeah.
Cousin cast?
Sweet. Cousin cast.
Cousin cast.
What do we call it when we say we're going to do one?
Cousin cast?
No, it was like the throne or guild or
something.
Cousins guild?
Something guild.
We told him to comment it too. I forgot that.
Anyway.
Yeah, it was
bye
Cousin
guys.
Guild.
Bye guys.
That's my guild.
Yeah.